have to be your biggest fan. And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that. Because you don't know who you're going to meet, who you're going to meet, who you're going to meet.
Hello and welcome back to Better Days. We are so grateful that you have tuned in today, and get ready because this episode, wow, there is so many aha moments, and I think it's really going to change how we think about so many things. We are so grateful for the warm welcome. Jerry and I were blown away last week. This podcast is coming your way every Tuesday and Thursday for the rest of the month. And if you are enjoying it, please hit that follow button wherever you are listening. That's the best way that you can support us, and leave us a review and a rating if you have time. Thank you so much. This podcast is brought to you with thanks to Simprove. Jerry and I are big fans of Simprove. We take it every single morning. So Simprove feels like the perfect brand to support Better Days. Made simple, it's a good health supplement, with 94% of customers saying they feel a difference within 12 weeks. It's different to other digestive supplements, as its water-based solution means that billions of bacteria in each shot are alive and active. The bacteria do not trigger digestion and get to work right away, supporting and balancing your gut microbiome. Stress and processed foods can cause us to have an imbalance of bacteria in our gut, and Simprove helps us rebalance. A healthy microbiome can also support your immune and hormone health, your mood, skin health, and energy levels too. A 12-week course is recommended to see the full benefits, and on Mars Pharmacy, when you purchase 8 weeks, you receive the final 4 weeks for free. Head over to marspharmacy.ie or click on the link in the show notes for more. So welcome back. We are here with another dilemma in January. We got lots in, and we were so delighted with the reaction to the first episode. So welcome back. And hi, Jerry, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks. I'm delighted to be back. And as I said on the last one, a little bit nervous because we don't always know what's coming at us. So I'm on the edge of my seat here. So don't start off with an easy question and we can work into it.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. I was thinking about this the other day, because I think for so many years in my life, I was so excited about weekends and getting that Friday feeling. And since I started working for myself, or maybe this is a coincidence, I haven't had that Friday feeling in maybe 5 or 6 years. Now, is that because I work for myself, or is that because I enjoy each and every day and it doesn't matter what day it is?
Well, firstly, the Friday feeling can be a lovely thing. It's like the end of a week. It's, you know, welcomes the weekend. And certainly when you're self-employed, that disappears, which isn't always a good thing, because as anybody that runs their own business will know, often on a Friday evening when everyone else has gone home, you're still working away, or people work Saturdays and Sundays now. So because the nature of work has changed, and because it's not really 9 to 5 Monday to Friday gig for a lot of us anymore, that's the first thing. So that necessarily isn't a good thing. It might mean that you're working all weekend, or it might mean that you're still in work mode. There's something lovely about coming home, and whether it's changing your clothes or going for a walk, having a bath, and kind of acknowledging that the week is over, acknowledging that you can now unwind. So there's something nice about the Friday feeling. But the gift that I find, so I'm a bit like you, I'm self-employed. Sometimes I don't even realize it's a Saturday morning, because you're in the middle of it, and I run shows on Sundays. So sometimes I say, God, you know, I miss the Friday feeling, but the benefit that I've got, and because I've worked for myself almost my entire life, I've never once had Sunday night dread or Sunday night fear. So when people talk about the Sunday night fear, I've no idea what they're talking about. I need to go back to when I used to be watching Glen Rowe on a Sunday night, and that music. But like, because I love what I do, I don't dread Monday mornings. I don't dread Tuesdays. People talk about the hump day. There seems to be a different name on every day. I just love working. So I think sometimes if you're desperately clinging, trying to get to Friday, and then you're dreading Sunday evening, the Sunday night fear, the cure for the Sunday night fear is change your job. So there's a danger that we give too much emphasis to the weekend. The weekend is a two-day event, which means you're not really living the other 5 days. And life is so short. You know, we know roughly 900 months is our life expectancy. We sleep 200, so we get 600 months awake on this planet. And you get to my age, you've probably less than 300 left. Are you really going to spend two-thirds of that in a situation of unhappiness, so you can desperately get to the weekend to be happy for 2 days and then come back and be unhappy for 5 days? So I think for me, there is something nice about getting to Friday and unwinding. And we have a family routine. I always try to finish work at lunchtime on a Friday, and we call it Family Friday. And sometimes when things are going well and the kids aren't gone bananas, we might go out, we might get some lunch, we might go for a walk, we might do something nice. Or when the kids are gone bananas, it might be a 15, 20 minute routine. But I think it's lovely to mark different markers of the week. But it shouldn't be like counting your life down all the time. And then you lose half a Sunday full of dread because Monday's coming up. I think you really need to examine that. That's not a healthy way of living, in my opinion.
It's funny that you say that, because every Monday morning I have... like what you were saying there about the Friday. So your Family Fridays, you're changing the energy there between the working week and the weekend. So every Monday morning, I open all of the windows in my house, regardless of the weather. And I let fresh energy in, because I feel like that takes me out of one mindset and puts me into another, but in a really nice, refreshing way.
I love that idea. And I think changing energy is so important. And you know, it's opening window, or sometimes it's pulling the curtains, it's putting a nice fire down, it's lighting candles. We think these things are small, but they're actually very big. Turn the big lights off, and that could be for a weekend or could be for 2 hours. Sometimes you've had a really stressful day. Sometimes you might have got bad news that day. So when do we shift the energy? When do I build an energy of, when do I just light the fire? When do I just light a candle? When do I maybe put on some nice music? Because a house, we know, can be very busy and they can be very noisy. And our nervous system is responding to that all the time. The environment in which you live is so important. It has an immediate impact on your gut health, on your nervous system, on your brain health, because we're immersed in that environment. So to change the noise, change the smell, change the frequency, slow it all down, It does something amazing. So shifting your energy often is one of the greatest things you can do to build freshness and energy. We're always on the front foot. We're always going out. We're always the problem solver. We're always the doer. We're always cleaning. We're always out doing things. And I would say for people this year, a lovely word is retreat. And if you can retreat for a day, fantastic. Or if you can retreat for an hour, retreat into something that makes you feel connected and joyful and loved and safe. And those retreat moments every week become so, so important.
Retreat into being enough. Because we are enough, but we never think we are.
And we never think we've enough done. We're always conditioned to the next thing. And particularly when you're self-employed, it's like, if you're self-employed, you can be working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because you never get to the end of the to-do list. And sometimes you have to get to a to-do list with 10 things on it and you're at number 6 and you have to say, that's OK.
Yeah.
That's OK. Because what I need to do now is retreat. What I need to do is be OK with number 6. And you have to set those clearly defined times in your day, times in your week, where it's not about the outside world, it's not about the to-do list, it's not about getting more done. It's saying right now, I am enough, I have enough, and I have enough done.
I'm about to read out our dilemma, and it's all about family, which is such a coincidence that we had that little conversation there. But I suppose nothing is a coincidence in life. So I'll read this, Jerry, and then you could give us your take on it. Firstly, I would like to say I don't like saying this out loud or emailing it out loud, as I feel bad because it's about my parents, who are great people. I live in the countryside and close to their home. My parents are both in their mid-70s. In 2019, just before COVID, my dad injured his back. Thankfully, he's alive, but his recovery was long. It was full on scary. And me being the daughter who lives close by, I had to step up, which I did, not a problem, as you would do anything for your parents. My father's recovery was long and slow. My mum was also making a slow recovery. She had a stroke shortly afterwards. This was all during COVID, and I should mention that I'm a single mum. Fast forward 4 years, my dad's back is okay. He didn't have surgery, but he was told to take it very easy. And thankfully, my mum has recovered from her stroke. But both are very, very dependent on me. I would do anything for them, but I feel both are so lucky to be alive and well, and now they should embrace life. I've mentioned it to my mum in a roundabout way, but I don't think it's registering. I get cross on the inside when my parents ask me to do this or that, when I know they can do it themselves. I feel, as I'm a single mum, that I don't have any time to go out, maybe one day, and meet someone myself. Many thanks.
It's a great letter, a great email, and very understandable in that position. But in a previous episode, we talked about emotional boundaries. And if you read that again, there's trigger words there that we need to pick up on. So one was, I had to step up. So that doesn't sound like a choice. And as long as you feel that I had to do something, it's against my will. I had no choice. One of the greatest reasons we suffer is that we don't execute choice, or we feel that we've no choice, or we feel that we're not able to make the choice that we would have wanted. So we say words like should, could, need, might. What that person should be saying is, I choose to step up. So the first thing is, she has to go back and examine, in my heart, am I angry that it was left to me?
Okay.
Because that's not anything to do with the external reality. The examination has to be, am I angry that it was left to me? And then the second part is, there seems to be an anger towards her parents, that they should, that word should is coming in there. They should move on. They should be grateful. They should be happy. But people can only be what they are. And we can only expect from people what they're capable of. So she needs to remove her attachment to the external world and ask, what would set me free? If I really believed in myself, and I know I'm a good person, and I know I'm a great daughter, but I also know I deserve to be free, I deserve to be happy, what would I do? And she needs to surrender and let go of this expectation to be other things for other people. There's a chance that the more we do for people is we keep them in a place of learned helplessness. So people can become so reliant on knowing that we'll be there. I know it doesn't really suit Georgie, but she'll always turn up. She'll always be here. You have to change that. So we can actually keep people in a place of what's called learned helplessness. Is the more we keep at the last minute jumping in to fix the problems. Sometimes we have to say no and let no be no. We have to make decisions that come with freedom. In order to be free to say yes, we have to be free to say no.
Okay.
And if you're saying yes because you feel you have to and you've no choice, then that's not really a yes. That's not a yes from the heart. That's obedience. And what's behind obedience? Obedience is someone who either A, thinks they're a victim, or B, believes... Again, it comes down to self-worth. That my self-worth as a human being is based on my ability to say yes to everybody else and to put everybody's needs before my own. Because if I don't, then they'll get angry. And if they get angry, they'll walk away from me. And if they walk away from me, I'll be left alone. Or it goes a little bit deeper. Very often the peacemakers are the people who are so afraid that people might actually begin to believe what I believe about myself. So if I annoy Georgie, if Georgie is upset by me, she might actually realize I'm not a nice person. But there has to be belief in there. We have to be free to say yes. We have to be free to say no. Where our freedom to say no evaporates is when we're so afraid that if we say no, what the other person will think of us. Mm. So if I say no to Georgie, a voice in my head says, but Georgie won't like you. But the question is, why would she not like you? Do you not believe you're a good person? Yeah. So you must believe there is something unlikable about yourself. This gets to the heart of people pleasing. When you're not a people pleaser, you speak your truth. You turn up exactly as you are. You let people see you for who you really are, and you take the risk whether they like you or not. So we have to be really clear. We sometimes manipulate people. We do everything for them so that they need us. And then that sense of needed gives us a sense of being loved or sense of importance. But sometimes we just need to break the cycle.
Yeah.
And the risk of that is the person will say, oh, what they mightn't like me then. But why wouldn't they like you? So you need to examine that. So when we're involved in unhealthy relationships, most of it comes back to self-belief and self-worth. I'm afraid that if I stand up and if I demand that my emotional boundaries are being met, I'm afraid that they'll see me for who I really am. And a lot of us get our sense of worth from what other people think of us or from the value that we bring to other people.
And what you were saying there about learned helplessness really resonated with me. So it's interesting that her parents rely on her for everything because she just does everything for them.
Of course. And maybe her parents do expect all of that, but she can't control that. We can't control other people's expectations of ourselves. The question is, what do I expect of myself? Do I stand up for myself? And any relationship, if your parents can't honor your emotional boundaries, that is not a healthy relationship. So we keep coming back to this idea of self-worth and healthy emotional boundaries. And the people who can't demand that their emotional boundaries are met are the people that deep down need to examine their self-worth.
Which one of your books would be relevant to this topic?
My second book, The Freedom Within, does a big deep dive on family dynamics and the labels. So the problem with families are everything comes with a big label. So the idea of family, I remember working with a high performing team and this new manager came in for the first time meeting these team and he talked about family. We're going to be a family and family. And eventually he said, any questions? One guy put his hand up and said, just to let you know, I come from the most dysfunctional family in my life. The greatest thing I did was getting out of my family. So we need to define what you mean by family, because I'm not too interested. I come here to get away from my family. So we have this idea that family should be something. But like most families can be tough places to live. And as someone said once, it's not until you lose both of your parents that you realize how little you have in common with your brothers and sisters. So the label of family, or she's my mum, she should know different. And in my book, I talk about expectations and agreements. So very often we have expectations of our parents, but they've never agreed it. We've never sat down with a brother or a sister and said, what does it mean to be a brother? So the problem then is everybody has these big, weighty expectations of each other, but nobody's ever sat down and agreed to those things. And yeah. That's why then in families, we get annoyed. Well, she should know better. She's my sister. She should have turned up to help. She's my mother. She should have came here. She should. It's all should. So what I say to people and in the book, the contract, there is no contract with family. They're free to behave in any way they want. And if they haven't sat down and looked you in the eye and agreed to thinking, acting and behaving in a certain way, then don't be disappointed when they don't do it. So yeah. There is no contract with families. But the problem is the label of mum and dad and brother and sister comes with huge expectations that are never explained. We have to get out of this idea of shoulds and families and labels, and they're just people. And then, do you want this person in your life? What would a healthy relationship with this person look like? And every healthy relationship has to have emotional boundaries on both sides that can be on.
A big thanks to Simpru for supporting Better Days. And I must say, my days are always better when I start with my little shot of Simpru first thing. In fact, over 100,000 people start their day with it too. And it's safe for the whole family. Even children can take it. For the kids, just take 1 milliliter per 1 kilogram of weight. With over 5,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, here's what their customers have to say. One person said, I've been wanting to try Simpru for a few months and now that I have, I'm convinced. I have so much more energy. My stomach issues are much improved. Definitely recommend. While another said, game changer for my stomach issues. Wouldn't go without it now. Highly recommend it. So head over to marspharmacy.ie or click in the link in the show notes to get 4 weeks of your 12-week course for free. So I, when I wrote back to this lady, I said, like, your love for your parents is so beautiful, by the way, because I know she felt guilty even writing the email. And I'm going to say something controversial here, and you may not agree with me, Jerry, but do you think she's using the family problems as an excuse not to meet somebody? Because she's saying, because of my parents, I don't have time to meet anybody.
Yeah, obviously I've never met her, so I can't say whether she is or not, but I would say it is highly likely, and I would say it is highly common that people invent scenarios to justify why they are where they are. I couldn't possibly do that because until, I mean, if she sat down with her parents and said, just so you know, this is the truth, I feel trapped. I feel you should be doing more for yourselves. And I give up so much of to ye that it's making me unhappy and it's stopping me from meeting someone. As your daughter, can I have permission to go live my own life a little bit more? I absolutely telling you now, they'll say, yes, go do it. So the question then is, freedom, there's an interest, to become free is about letting go. And freedom can be terrifying. Most prisoners will tell you that after a long time in prison, when the door opens on the final morning and you're told to walk out into society, very quickly they find their way back in prison because they can't handle it. They can't handle the freedom. Freedom comes with huge responsibility. And when you are free and you realize that you are why, is why your life is where it is, that you are responsible for the success or failure you become, that terrifies. People don't want to hear that. People get annoyed at me when I say that. You are responsible for the success or failure you become. Stop looking left and right. Stop blaming shadows. Stop blaming other people. It's you. That's terrifying because that is what freedom is. Freedom and responsibility go hand in hand. I have to take responsibility for my life and my life situations. And for me, when I coach people, Georgie, I don't do sympathy. I have sympathy for nobody. Empathy, yes. Sympathy is a destructive thing. Oh, you poor devil. You poor devil. You, how many times am I going to hear the poor devil? How many more times are you going to dwell in your past? I got a great lesson when I was in therapy myself with an incredible lady, Leslie Schumacher, still practicing, a great Canadian lady and a kind, loving, but a tough son of a gun. And I was in for a couple of sessions, poor me, and did I tell you about this? And one time I go, shit, I'm bored. You either start talking about yourself and you start creating a whole new future or we're done. You can't continue to blame other people. At what point does it become about you and your future?
Yeah.
And I remember looking around the eye and she almost like, the door is there. Now you have a decision to make. So when I work with people, I will share with them the tools. I'm not doing the bloody work for them. I say to people, we do sessions at 5 a.m. 5 a.m., that's very late. Could you do any later? No. It doesn't really suit me. Well, then find someone else. I'm not in the sympathy game. I'm not in the poor you game. But I will love you enough to give you my heart and my soul. I will turn up with everything I have, but you better do the work. And there's a, he won't mind me saying this, Niall Breslin, when I started working with him first, you know, he was telling me a lot about his own, and we all know from his book now, and his own anxiety. And I remember we're sitting in the Westbury once, we just had a cup of tea, and I just remember saying to him, Niall, like, tell me about you. I've heard about your anxiety. That's part of you. Tell me about what brings you life. Tell me about... And then he started talking about fitness and Ironman. He had this dream, and then suddenly he was coming alive, and I was like, wow. Now look at that. And anyone that knows Niall, when he gets... When he connects, I like, you're unstoppable. So what I said to him was, anxiety is always going to be part of your story. It can't be your story. 2 weeks later, I had him down in Delphi in a bog, probably 5 a.m. And his biggest fear was it, this is in the book, so he doesn't mind me sharing, was eels and confined spaces. And I threw him into a bog where he's up to his neck in mud and muck, and he's getting stuck and he's sinking. And everything in his fear, anxiety. And I stood at the side, and my message to him was, Niall, there's no one coming to save you. You save yourself now. And you're going to start by taking a deep breath. And you're going to stop looking around the world. There's no past now. There's no future. There's this moment. And in this moment, if you start by taking control of your breath, and then taking control of your stories, and then start by moment, you empower yourself. You'll get out of this. And I will never forget. It's like waking up the monster. He changed in front of me. He started to breathe. He started to come alive. And once he got out of that, I knew there was nothing I can throw in front of this guy for the rest of the weekend that he's not going to overcome.
Wow.
So the message I have to all my clients is, nobody's coming to save you. You got to look inward. Listen to your excuses. Write them all down, then tear them up. Write down the life you want. No one's going to go and get that for you. You got to save yourself. The world is full of incredible people with incredible wisdom, but they're not going to come and get you out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. They're not going to come and do the yoga session for you. They're not going to write that letter to your parents. That tough conversation that you have to have with that person, no one else is going to have. So for me, it's not about sympathy. It is about empathy. And then it's about empowerment. So I would say to this lady, you get one shot at this life. Your parents are incredible people and they're special, but they would not want to be the cause of your misery and your suffering. And you need to release them from that. And you need to become free to live your life on your terms, where you have your emotional boundaries and where you have a relationship with your parents, where they're free and you're free.
I have no words. I just think that was unbelievable and so true, and an incredible way to look at that dilemma. So grateful to that lady for getting in touch. I feel like she's ready, but I feel like she needed to hear that first. And I'm excited to hear back from her and to hear about what she does next. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us today and for all your wisdom. You are absolutely incredible.
My pleasure, and thanks to that lady as well. And I know these things aren't always easy. The easy life is to stay in a life of suffering. That is the easy life. The free life is the difficult life. So I'm asking this lady to do difficult things. I ask all my clients to do difficult things, and nobody knows how difficult they are but me. But I also know how liberating they are. And the price of an easy life, the price of easy decisions is suffering. The reward of difficult conversations is freedom. And I promise you it's worth it. This lady is ready for it. And her parents, I promise you, want to be liberated also. And she,
incredible.
This is as much a gift to her parents as it is a gift to herself.
Yeah. And writing it down was the hardest step for her. And I feel like everything is going to change from here. So that's it for today's episode of Better Days. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please make sure to hit that follow button wherever you are listening. We will be back on Thursday. In the meantime, why not join the hundreds of people that have signed up for my 7-day setup? It's taking place from January 15th. All you need is 10 minutes a day. There'll be hacks, tips, and a plan for the year ahead. Daily meditations, visualizations, affirmation practices, and more to help you supercharge supercharge your year. It's just €25 and you can sign up over on theGoodGlow.ie. I've also left a link for Jerry's book, The Freedom Within, in the show notes, along with a link to his next Soul Sunday event, which is taking place on April 14th in the Johnstown Estate. It's called Unleash and Elevate Your Potential, Unlock True Potential and Achieve Personal and Professional Success. Tickets are on sale now. So we'll see you on Thursday. Thank you so much. And if you have a dilemma for us, make sure to email us info@thegoodglow.ie.
You have to be your biggest fan. And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that. Because you don't know who you are.